We're about ready. Good morning, John. Good to see you back again.
Thanks,
No
Jerry.
need
It's
to
good to be
reply,
back.
just we know you're here.
No, I'm
There you
glad to be
are.
back. Thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's see, I want to make sure the sound's working on this side of things. So can one or more of you say hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
I couldn't
Jerry.
hear anything. Am I? No, hang on a second.
Hello. Hello, Jerry.
Buenos dias.
There we go.
Got
Say it again.
it.
Buenos
Peace.
dias.
Okay, buenos dias. We're on. Okay. Just there's a little hitch in the speaker that I have to get online every once in a while with. Anyway, welcome. Wouldn't mind put yourself on mute, and then if you need to talk, you can unmute yourself. That just cuts down any extraneous noise we might be having from whatever, termites, squirrels, dogs, cats. Okay. Going to suggest that we take a moment to allow ourselves to get grounded, centered. Just fall into the rhythm of your breathing. Kind of like letting yourself find your own natural vibration or frequency at this moment. No comparisons, no need to compare. And know that we are creating a sacred space, not a physical space, but a sacred space that can be occupied by anyone who chooses. A level of peacefulness, harmony, joyfulness. It is a space that the thinking mind does not understand. And that's okay. It's just not made to do that. But it's a space and a place where we notice the difference between our ego and our spirit. No need to explain or define, but knowing that you know the difference. And the state of mind you choose to occupy is a choice. You can open your eyes when you're ready, stretch a bit. There's an old Chinese proverb. It says, may you live in interesting times. Would it be like to realize that each one of us has chosen to be in these circumstances right now? That this is part of the incarnation, part of the trip that we have decided on, that we're here for a reason. I can't explain that, but I believe it's true. Each one of us chose to be here at this rather seemingly insane time on planet Earth. Sort of like Alice in Wonderland, up is down, down is up. I was both shocked and dismayed to hear a report that came in from a number of different evangelical ministers who discovered that their congregations, after they had preached a sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, that a number of the people in their congregation said, "That's not right." He said, "Well, those are the words of Jesus." And they said, "Yeah, but it doesn't work anymore." Doesn't work anymore. G.K. Chesterton one time was approached by a friend of his who said, "You know, Christianity has been tried and found wanting." He said, "I don't think so." He said, "Christianity has never really been tried." So here we are in a very, very interesting juncture of sets of beliefs, practices. We got caught up in this, well, not caught up, well, yeah, caught up in it last week. And what I found tremendously challenging when I was writing up the reflection, which is, by the way, that's a gift to me. If it's a gift to you, that's fine, but it's a gift to me. Because it's my way of making this or allowing this to be spiritual practice. Not to make sense out of it so much, not intellectually, but to come to grips with what I might be struggling with at the time. What I found myself struggling with were the words of Jesus, who said, "If somebody asks for your coat, give him your cloak too. If someone smacks you on the cheek, turn your face so you can smack the other side. If someone forces you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles. You heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And boy, are we seeing that one right now. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, love your neighbors. Be good to those who hate you." Paula brought up the example of what would it be like if after Israel got attacked that they did not retaliate. Well, you can't do that. Why not? I wonder. It's interesting, if you look at every major religion here on planet Earth, all of them, without any bit of hesitation, all of them have some version of what we refer to as being the golden rule about loving God and loving your neighbor. Every one of them. So it's not exclusive territory of Christianity or Buddhism or Taoism or Hinduism or Confucianism or Islam or whatever you want. It's there in every one of the major religions on planet Earth has some form of the golden rule about loving your neighbor and loving God, without exception. And so I really wonder, have we put that into practice yet? Or if we just put it into practice when it's easy? Jana?
I just can't help thinking that throughout history, the Israelis have not responded It would be here with all the things.
Well, that's what history seems to tell us, that they wouldn't be here anymore. But we don't know that. I mean, I see, here's the dilemma that we fall into, that I fall into, which is probably very explanatory of this particular work that we're doing on Sunday morning, is that there is a huge difference, huge, and maybe an impossible divide between doing and knowing through our small personality, ego consciousness, and doing and practicing from our higher divine self. The other thing that happens so often is that we try to explain spiritual matters or the higher, we try to explain higher consciousness through our lower consciousness. And just doesn't work. And so when we say something like turn the other cheek, we say, oh, that's nice, but. I don't have a good answer to that one. Because I don't know how I'm going to react or how I would react in someone doing violence towards me or somebody else that I love. Somebody put a gun in my hand, would I shoot him? I'd like to think not. But I don't know the answer to that one. So it's very easy for me to pontificate here on Sunday mornings and play Ain't It Awful with these evangelists who are saying, well, those are the words of Jesus, but they're not good enough anymore. And play Ain't It Awful with that one. But what happens to me when I'm confronted with a deeper reality here in the physical world? You get a sense of the challenge. I can feel my gut twisting right now. And I'm not trying to, you know, complain about that or say that that's bad or wrong. I'm just saying or suggesting that this is a hell of a freaking challenge. For each one of us. Now, most of us live in a rather comfortable kind of environment. I mean, the biggest inconvenience we have is electricity going off for a while and having to throw some food out of our refrigerator. We all got heat, all got warmth, we all got food, we got a place to stay, got a roof over our head. We don't have anybody dropping leaflets on our house saying you have to leave. Even you have to leave, but there's no place to go. We don't have that. You see it on the news. You play it awful. And ain't that horrible? Isn't that awful? Isn't that bad? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that sick? Isn't that sad? Sometimes the biggest reality that I face is the can opener doesn't work. Or the cat threw up on the rug. And again, so I asked the question, what would it be like to realize that each one of us has chosen to live in this difficult time? What is our job? What is our task? What is our learning? And I don't know about you, but I can, when I ask questions like that, I feel myself on the, I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel easy. I wish it were different. How can I pretend it is different? It's not. So what would it be like again this morning to realize that we are also in our puzzlement, in our doubt, in our fear, in our desire to make things different, but we don't know how, What are we being called to do for ourselves and for those who are close to us? Because those are the only ones we can really reach at this moment. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense. But we can not make sense out of it so much, but we can be as loving as we possibly can in this moment in time. How can I do the dishes with love? How can I clean the house with, how can I get dressed in the morning with love? How can I hold a space open in my heart for love for people who don't aren't for people who are not people who I perceive anyway are not loving at this moment? I could see peace instead of this.
Jerry.
Yes.
My perspective is really interesting, I think, because I've been going through this Bible in a year process. And so the historical perspective for Israel, for the Jewish people, as I look at this, it's been interesting to me to look at what we might look at as persecution. I read an opinion piece by Thomas Friedman in the New York Times, and he was talking about the 2006 attack on Israel by Hezbollah. And he talked about an interview after Israeli completely demolished Hezbollah, and they were interviewing the leader of Hezbollah, and they asked him about his impressions now after that was all over. And he basically said if he had known that their attack upon Israel at that time would have led to a war, he never would have done that, but that they were brainwashed by Iran. So that's part of what I'm thinking about, but I'm also thinking about the 10 tribes of Israel that disappeared. They were dispersed to different lands. And I've got to wonder if their DNA is not dispersed into Iran and Iraq and into all these other countries. And part of their, what occurred to me was their identity is now part of those other countries that may, they're those Arabic countries that are, they have different religious beliefs, and yet they don't like the Israel, the people of Israel. Here's the point I'm getting to. Is what occurred to me is the question is, who do I think I am? What are my beliefs based on who do I think I am? I hope that makes some sense, because if I think that I am an Arabic believer, follower of Islam, then I have certain beliefs. This is who I am and this is how I should behave. If I think that I am a Jewish person, this is my belief and this is who I am. If I believe that I am a follower of Jesus, this is who I am and this is how I should behave. Who am I? And so we've been following the guides, and they give us a phrase to follow. And I just think that that is probably a fundamental question for each one of us. Who am I? Who do I really think that I am? And that defines our relationship with God and with each other. Thanks.
Okay. But essentially, all of our labels are irrelevant.
Okay.
All of our labels are ways of creating differences and separation between one person and another. And that's part of our problem. I have identified with my label. I have identified you with your labels. And as long as I do that, I'm going to continue to embrace differences rather than sameness.
But I think that's part of identifying.
Go back to the words of Jesus again. And some smart ass, after he said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, do good to those who hate you, blah, 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 whatever he's talking about on the sermon, said, well, and who is my neighbor? And he said, I'll tell you who your neighbor is. I will share with you the parable of the Good Samaritan, who gets beaten up, robbed, thrown by the wayside. And who comes walking by was a Levite who's going to make sacrifice at the temple. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. I need to go to the temple. A priest walks by. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. I'm too busy praying. Another guy walks by who's a Samaritan, who is, talking about Palestinian and Jews, is pretty much the same category, okay? Samaritan's right there and says, ah, here's a Jew beaten up by the roadside. Good, I think I'll spit on him. So we did. That's my brother over there. I don't care what label he has on. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to wash his wounds. I'm going to carry him to a hospital. And when I leave him at the hospital, I'm going to say, I will pay the bills for this guy. I don't care how much it costs. I will be back and I will pay the bills of whatever you need to do to make this guy well. He was my enemy, according to all of the labels that he was wearing or anybody else was. But not really. I mean, we can stretch that parable as far as you want. Let's just suppose you're sitting in church, having a wonderful time during the service. And some old homeless person comes and sits next to you, smells of vomit and urine. Notice the difference between somebody who had a nice suit on and smelled like wonderful, expensive aftershave, but could have been the worst person in the world, all right, comes and sits next to you. Which one am I more comfortable with? Which one am I more accepting of?
Maybe
not easy. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I have not come to bring peace, I have come to bring the sword. Because the message I'm giving you is not easy, it's tough. In fact, it's so tough that we haven't learned how to practice it after 2,000 years, all right? We're still in the same place. We're still saying, oh, that's not practical. That's not really, that's not really what he meant. Oh, he didn't really, when he said love your neighbor, he really didn't mean that. When he said don't retaliate, don't get revenge, oh, really didn't mean that. Really? Now, let's just bring it down to another layer of practical level. Love your neighbor as yourself, as somebody once said. And unfortunately, most of us do.
Right. Yep.
Where's the love need to land first? Before I can give it to anybody. I don't know about you, but in times like this, my inner critic has turned up the volume full blast, talking about, well, look how helpless you are in trying to do this. Look at how difficult this is. All right, let's just retreat into our own little space.
Jerry.
Yo.
So I was flipping through the pages that we've already read, looking for something that would maybe summarize what I was trying to get at. And here's what I found on page 121. I see the woman before me. May she remember who she is. May I know myself as I truly am, so I may remember her as she truly is. I am word through the one I see before me. I know who you are. I know what you are. I know how you serve.
Thank you. And how, my dilemma is, how do I stay in that space?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I will, in a moment, I will turn that into forgetfulness. I will forget who you are, and I will forget who I am.
Jerry?
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's part of what happens. Jim? Yeah, we'll see if we can get that to work.
Okay. So yesterday I was on a Zoom.
Can you guys hear him?
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Great. So yesterday I was on a Zoom with practitioner council that I'm part of. Marianne Williamson actually spoke. But here's what I got out of that, kind of what you just said in terms of love thy neighbor and you know, in terms of, it's not practical. She said, you know, God doesn't need our commentary.
God what?
God doesn't need our commentary. And it was just boom, like, okay, it means what it means. It means what it means. It's not for us. We want to dice it up. We want to go ahead and say, well, it can't mean that. It shouldn't mean that. It means what it means. So
thank you. Top of page 191. When a circumstance arises that appeals to you to change, and the small self who knows herself through history, as John was pointing out, starts screaming, get off the damn mountainside. You will fall down. You will fall off the cliffs. Come back home to where it's safe. You must understand that this is a test of some kind. In other words, we're being stretched. If it doesn't feel very comfortable, you're being stretched, right? As the sermon on it, I mean, you don't even have to look at a commentary, but just reading the Sermon on the Mount again. You want to get stretched? Read the Sermon on the Mount. Keep it really, really simple. You want to get stretched? Get a sense of what it's like to love my neighbor, who I can't stand on a personal level. See that doesn't go away. You might still have a personality consciousness and an ego consciousness that I can't stand, because because that's what egos do, by the way. They rub against one another. How do you know you're coming from your ego? Because it's getting rubbed. It'd be like, let's suppose there's a new little baby in your life, granddaughter, grandson, for those of you who are old enough. And those of you who are young enough to make it kids. In the beginning, there is just this little being who happens to have a physical body, who's doing just what little babies do, pooping and peeing and, you know, throwing up and doing whatever babies. And you're fine with that. It's just because there's nothing there to rub against. There's no ego yet. It's just a little baby doing what a little baby does. And then you know what happens after 3, 4, 5, 6 months? that wonderful moment where I was just feeding the baby pablum and he puked it up and I had to scrape it up and put a new bowl together, which was fine 6 months ago. All of a sudden now starts. And now I go, oh, come on, can't you eat the damn pablum? Did you have to pee again? See, now what happens is now this little individual has begun to develop, not consciously as far as we're concerned, but has begun to develop a little ego, a little personality conscious, which is separate from yours. And the reason why I know that is because it starts rubbing, starts making some friction. You know what happens when you do enough friction, you start a fire going, okay? And sometimes that fire can be rather angry or at least annoyed. What happened? Here is my little ego consciousness saying, get off the damn mountains, get saying it doesn't work anymore. Oh, that's all very nice if you're Jesus on top of a mountain. But what about us? What about a Palestinian who's saying, you have to leave your territory. You have to leave leave the southern part of the Gaza Strip and go to the north. But I have no transportation. And even if I did, there's nowhere for me to go. So don't start telling me about loving my neighbor. How about feeding my kids? I don't have a good answer to that one. Let me just read that one thing again. When a circumstance arises that appeals to you to change, in other words, you're right now in this moment of time, we are coming to grips with something that's rather difficult to come to grips with. And we're saying, bless you. We're saying, bless you. Saying, I need to change, but I'm not quite sure how. I need to put something into practice here, but I'm not quite sure how to do that. But I know one thing that I'm doing is I can either obey the dictates of my small self, my ego consciousness, my personality, or I can obey the dictates of my higher consciousness, which is going to lead me in a different direction. Which one do I choose? Come back home where it is safe. Let's pretend this is not happening, because it's not happening in my house. So let me pretend it's not happening over there either. It has nothing to do with me. Come back where it's safe. You must understand that this is a test of one kind. Now, it's not a test of pass or fail. That would put you back into right and wrong, put you back in duality. We're all one, but you're not. We're all one, but not Hamas. But we will say each time you encounter the fear or move beyond the blame or attend to the lower nature and lift it to the higher, you give yourself permission to progress. Not saying, not defining that. I'm willing to stretch. As you stand there facing the tiger in your own paralysis, the path still waits for you to rise up to. It will never be gone. It will be there when you are ready. In this lifetime or the next, it will be there. In this lifetime or the next. So wouldn't that be interesting to take in? There's no hurry about getting there. Because the boat doesn't leave until everybody's on it. Okay? And you can't force yourself to be someplace where you're not. So right now I say, you know, God, I'd love to be able to see my brothers and my sisters differently than the way I do at this moment. And yet I get caught up in that same sense of hatred or fear or separateness that maybe is driving this whole thing in the Middle East and has been driving it for a long time. And the unease and the difficulty and the separation that I'm seeing out there is also going on in here. See me, feel me, touch me, heal me. I am willing. I am willing to face my fears and face my negativity and face my sense of separation in order for that to be healed. I don't know what that healing is going to look like. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I don't know what that's going to look like, and that doesn't matter. What matters is that I am opening my, I'm not sacrificing anything. I am opening myself up to a higher truth. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how I'm going to respond to that. I don't know how great, I don't know how grace is going to work with me in this moment. But that's okay. See, that's a wonderful concept or idea or sense or gift, grace. It's the manifestation of God's love in your life, however that happens to show up, no matter what form of belief you might come with. I know there are probably different words. I'm not sure what the Hindu word for it is. Do you know?
What?
For grace?
Dhyana is compassion.
Okay. So I'm sure there's a word for that or an understanding of that in all of our religions. Because that's the basis of word. It's the basis of oneness, basis of looking beyond differences. Right? And it's God's love moving to you and through you. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how that's going to feel. But I do know it's there. You know why I know it's there? Because we're here. And each one of us has been a result of grace. If we were not, I know I wouldn't be here. I'm sure none of us would be here. And you could probably point out different little instances in your life where grace showed up, where that love showed up, and you allowed yourself to participate in that. But there are probably thousands, maybe millions of other moments when grace was present and helped to transform your life that you were not even conscious of. I mean, all of those times we were lifted out of a depression or a negative state of mind. Or somebody just kind of came into your mind, somebody you haven't thought about in 40 or 50 years. You say, I wonder how they're doing. Let me send them some light. I don't even know whether they're still in this lifetime or not, but let me send them some light. How many times have we showed up in somebody else's mind where they decided to send us some light?
Jerry.
Yes, John.
I call jet lag. It takes a long time to get there. I'll give you an example. I delivered meals on Friday morning, and this lady's son asked me to get the ride back to the street. As I'm sure.
Use the mic.
I'm doing a good deed. So he gets in the car, and my granddaughters would help me.
Hold that up, please.
And the smell so bad, my car still, that was all good. My whole thing, my whole judgment of me, why, what is wrong with this man? It took me days to come and say, he's my brother. And to see that, it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lots.
It takes a while, John was saying, sometimes for these moments of grace to kind of catch up to our awareness. Because sometimes, I don't know about you guys, sometimes I get hooked so strongly and so deeply into separation or negativity or judgment, no matter what particular form you might put that in. I get so hooked in that that it puts me to sleep. Puts me in that state of unawareness, right? And it might take me a while to wake up and say, you know, I could have had a V8. I could have done this differently. So don't be surprised if you might have what John was calling jet lag, right? And, you know, falling into a state of unawareness or falling into a state of anger or fear or separation, whatever form that might be taking. And knowing that even when I change, here's what gets me was, even if I change my thoughts right away of saying, oh, this is my brother who just puked on me, okay? It's still going to, first of all, it's going to take me a while to clean my clothes. But it's also sometimes going to take me a while to change the emotional effect of that, of get away from me, man. That's just a fact of life for me. When we say, you know, when we say change your thinking, if you want to change your feelings, go ahead and do that. But don't expect your feelings to change as soon as you change your ideas or your thinking, because it's not going to happen that way. It's probably going to take a while. It's going to take a while for the anger to settle down or the sense of separation or whatever might happen to be. So yes, go ahead and change your thinking. But don't expect your feelings to change as quickly, because they probably won't. At least I'm not there yet. Jim?
Two things. One, kind of getting back about a couple of minutes ago, about you mentioning like a baby, a little baby, kind of like. I grew up like in the late 70s, 80s. So there's a lyric in a favorite group of mine, Earth, Wind, and Fire. A child is born with a heart of gold. Way of the world makes its heart grow cold. And I just said that what you said just resonated with me in terms of that. The other thing is that in terms of neighbor, you know, how can I say I love God, spirit, divine, whatever you want to call it, when I can't see it, and my neighbor, humanity, is in front of me, and I can't love them?
And Jesus said exactly the same thing. He said, how can, you know, those of you who say I love God but hate your neighbor, you're a liar.
Right.
You are a liar. You're being dishonest with yourself. You know, I was thinking of
the last thing I just want to share is that, and again, this had just been like resonating with me the entire week, especially with what was happening in terms of, you know, Middle East. We, as a human, we have this thing that, you know, that we're not going to leave this earth. Like we're going to be here like forever. So then I started thinking like, you know, aren't we to be caregivers of that which we're blessed with? You know, and then in the same line, it says, it doesn't appear that we are at all.
I could not help thinking of Mr. Rogers. Won't you be my neighbor? Everybody. And how difficult, you know, he was, this was wild. Fairly, in the probably in the middle years of Mr. Rogers, when he made friends with the mailman, who was a black man. And he invited him into his living room to take his shoes and socks off, put them in this little swimming pool. So, because to rest his tired feet, won't you be my neighbor? Oh, he didn't mean everybody. How could he possibly have meant so and so?
Jerry.
Yes.
I was just thinking that for me, at what caused this separateness? What caused this separateness from this world in God's way, it for me was we thought we could do it better. And God said, you go ahead and you dream your dream and you do it better. And this is where we're at. I don't believe God has anything to do with this dream. The God I see, if I even look to the heavens as an example, but it's probably something I'm dreaming, looking up there at the heavens, was that all the planets are even in alignment because of tone and vibration and sound. It was all a power and energy for God. That was God. This to me is where we went wrong here in this body, in this world, that we came to believe we were more powerful. And I don't think any of us are that powerful that we can align all of the satellite, all of the planets. It's our dream. And this is where it's taken us. That's what I believe. It's at the very core of what caused our separateness, to do it our way.
Okay. Let's take a minute to close up this morning. I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down and close your eyes if you like. Take a couple of breaths. Take a really good deep breath. Stretch out that middle part. Soften. I don't know. I just kind of noticed how tight I had gotten. Breathe deeply. And as you breathe deeply and allow your breathing to find its own natural rhythm, let yourself soften. Open to the presence of God, presence of unconditional love. Drop all of the suppositions, all of the figuring out, all of the answers, all of the history, all of the contradictions, all of the ain't it awful, all of the what ifs. Drop them all. And just breathe into that space of grace. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be free of suffering. May all beings remember who they are. And I pray that we can carry some of this grace with us into the week, no matter what the external world might be telling us. Breathe deeply again, stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all. I hope you have a blessed week. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
See ya.
Thank you, Jerry.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of one
another. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you. See you, Paul.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Sangi.
Thank you. Another paper.